a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Call the House Judiciary Committee meeting to order at this time, and I would like to ask the Secretary to call the roll to establish a quorum.
Abdullah.
Here.
Baumgarten.
Here.
Feinstein. Gibson.
Here.
Hansen.
Here.
Killer.
Here.
Kopp.
Here.
Nelson.
Here.
Russell.
Here.
Torno.
Here.
Turboville.
Here.
Gosch.
Here.
Hunt.
Here. We have a quorum. Before going on to the minutes, etc., I would like to welcome all of you to the House Judiciary Committee meeting. All of you that are here in the room, as well as all of you who may be listening on South Dakota Public Radio. We have with us today two pages that are very valuable indeed. All of the pages that come to peer for a two-week stint serve in various committees and help this system work. Our two pages, I would like to ask them to come to the microphone in the witness box, and if you would slowly and clearly just give us your name and where you're from.
I'm Lexi Jones from Huron.
I'm Tony Lyron from Condi.
Thank both of you very much, Tony and Lexi. Good to have you with us here today. And I'd like to also introduce our committee intern, Caitlin Peets, who's in the back there. And again, if you need some assistance from her, please feel free to coordinate with me and we'll provide that assistance. I would like to remind all to ensure that their cell phones are turned off, and that if anyone is intending to provide testimony here today, respectfully request that you sign in on the log sheet at the back of the room, and please write your name clearly so that we can have proper spelling in the minutes. Are we on? I would also like to remind everyone again that we are on public television, and your comments will be recorded and they'll be archived, and you can listen to yourself if you wish, but remember, everybody else in South Dakota can listen to what you said before this committee as well. At this time, I would ask staff, if staff has any comments, questions of any sort, any questions by any members of the committee? Seeing none, I would also, for the benefit of the audience, basically note that there may be a little hustle and bustle around the committee members this morning, because as of 12 o'clock, all committee members, all legislators, have to turn in their bills before they run into a limited number of bills. So you may see people taking a piece of paper and running out the door to get it down to the clerk's desk before 12 o'clock today as such. And that's a reminder to the members, if you have one of those bills and need to get it down, you don't need to ask my permission. Just go ahead and get it down and get right back as soon as you can. At this point in time, then, I will entertain a motion with regards to the minutes of the last meeting. I have a motion of approval by Representative Turboville. I have a second by Representative Gibson. Any discussion on that motion to approve last meeting's minutes?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Turno.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I would move that the minutes be amended. I guess I don't know how you want to address this, because I talked to the chair ahead of time. Page 2 of the minutes are incorrect insofar as on House Bill 1015, when there was a motion pending to amend that bill, Representative Turboville made a motion to defer to the 41st day. He did not make a substitute motion. That motion was later referred to as a substitute motion, but it was not, in fact, a substitute motion which was seconded. So I don't know how you want to address that. I'll leave it to the chair.
It would be the chair's intent that we will treat that as an objection to the minutes, and we will record in the minutes the fact that Representative Turno is of the opinion, and I believe he's listened to the recording of the meeting, that there was not a substitute motion made. Of course, it would have been proper at that point in time to object. That objection wasn't made. That's why I'm not going to treat your present comments as a motion, because that motion should have been made at that time. But we will enter into the record your objection. I would also further clarify the fact that there was a statement made by the chairman before the vote was taken that we would be taking a vote on a substitute motion. But we did have a little miscue there, if you would. But I think that we'll handle it simply by noting Representative Turno's objections in the minutes and then proceed accordingly. So,
Mr. Could I follow up one brief second? I would just say this isn't a matter of laying in the weeds. I didn't catch it at the time. I went back and later listened because I had some concerns. I think there was a comment by Representative Hansen that triggered my memory to go back and listen. If I would have caught it at the time, I certainly would have made the objection noted or pointed it out that time. But I note it now because the motion made by Representative Turbeville as a motion to defer to the 41st day was seconded. There was no second to a substitute motion to defer. So that's simply my point.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Nelson.
I would call the question on the appropriate legal motion that was made.
I'm going to hold you out of order because I'm not sure that there was a motion that was made at this point in time.
Mr. Chairman,
so there's no need to cease debate.
There was a motion made on the bill. An appropriate motion was made on the bill to amend it, and that is the question that I'm calling at this time.
But you're referring to our last meeting?
That's correct, sir.
Your motion isn't out of order. All right. Any other further discussion? Seeing none, the motion is to approve the minutes of our last meeting as long as those minutes contain comments as made by Representative Turno regarding the motion and substitute motion. All those in favor of that motion to approve the minutes with that comment will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Motion carries. The minutes are approved. All right. Let's move then to our first bill of the morning. I'm going to try to take the bills in order, but I do want to go below the line. I want to go down to House Bill 1045, which was deferred because we did not have all of our members present. And so at this point in time, I'm going to just briefly recall to mind the trust provisions, Bill 1045. You'll recall that the debate that we had did not seem to object to the substantive material in 1045, but there was some question with regards to whether or not the title of 1045 was in compliance with South Dakota Constitution Article 3, Section 21, which basically said there should only be one subject in each title. So at this point, we'll revert to the discussion and or action portion of our hearing on 1045. Representative Nelson.
Yes, sir. I heard rumor that this had been broken up into the several different bills. Is that not the case?
I did request of LRC that they break it into three different bills so I could see what their decision would be as to how they would break it up. I have copies of those, but I do not know of anyone intending to introduce those bills at this point in time.
Thanks, sir.
You bet. Do we have any action on 1045?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Turberville.
I would move due pass on 1045.
I'm going to rule that motion out of order at this point in time because previously in our discussion on 1045, that basically was a motion of due pass. So are there any other motions that members wish to make? Sure. Representative Turberville, do you?
Yes, I would. And correct me if the procedure is not proper. I would move that we amend 1045, line 5, remove the comma after business.
Second.
There's a motion to remove the comma after the word business on line 5 of House Bill 1045. The motion was made by Representative Turberville, seconded by Representative Gosch. Discussion on that motion, Representative Turberville.
Well, no, we had the first time we went through 1045, it was a vote of 6 to 5. We didn't have a full committee at that time. And with this amendment, if it is approved, then we have made a change to House Bill 1045. And I would look to see if we could have another vote on it as amended.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Turno.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would make a substitute motion to move or advance the bills that have been apparently broken into three that you referenced earlier and put those before the body.
Second.
We have a motion by Representative Turno to a substitute motion to substitute the three bills prepared by LRC to, in essence, replace the one bill, 1045, seconded by Representative Nelson. Let me point out, I asked for those to be done, and I have them, but I don't have them with me here today. So we would have to make copies for everyone. We'd have to defer this to our next meeting, which is not beyond the realm of possibility if this motion is approved. If the motion is not approved, then we continue with where we are. So we have a substitute motion, basically, to produce three copies or three parts, let me put it this way, to substitute for House Bill 1045 three other bills that would contain 1045 but which would be split into three different bills. That's the motion before the committee at this time. Does everyone understand that motion? All right.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I would ask the members of this committee to resist the substitute motion, and let's vote on this bill as it's intact right now. Since our last meeting, I've had a chance to review some of the case law on point for one subject per bill, and that supports keeping this bill intact. With that, let's vote down the substitute motion, and then let's vote to pass this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further comments on the substitute motion?
Sure.
Representative Turno.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I would urge your support of this motion. I, too, have looked at the cases, and most recently I would point out that the case in 2005, Verizon versus Gary Viken, Secretary of Revenue, where this specific provision was brought up by Verizon on two instances. The first it failed on, the second it prevailed on, that the bill back in, I believe it was Senate Bill 236 in 1998, actually dealt with more than one subject. And our Supreme Court said, even given the liberal construction of the constitutional provision, that one subject can contain more than one limited topic, if you will, the Supreme Court specifically held that Senate Bill 236 was in violation of that. And I think a very analogous argument can be made here. And given the chair's comments, and I appreciate the chair's comments, that we are still at an early stage, there would be no harm in bringing this bill as three separate bills. And the reason or the purpose for that would be that as you look at House Bill 1045, it deals with not less than 10 different sections of trust law, and not less than three different chapters of different trust provisions. And as such, And I think you really need to look no further than sections 1, 2, and 3 as compared to the rest of the bill, that it is more than one subject, and that given the constitutional provision, which is beyond that the subject contain one, that the title contain one subject, but that the bill must contain one subject. So for that reason, I would urge your support of the motion. Thank you.
Further comments?
Second.
Representative Abdullah has called the question, seconded by Representative Gosch. That's a non-debatable motion. All those in favor of the motion to call the question will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
Motion carries. We have before us then the motion to split this 1045 into three bills. All those in favor of that motion, roll call has been requested. Is he supported? Looks like he is supported. So we'll have a roll call on the substitute motion to split 1045 into three bills. Secretary will call the roll. All those in favor of that substitute motion will say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Abdullah.
No.
Boomgarten.
No.
Feinstein. Gibson.
No.
Hansen.
No.
Killer.
No.
Kopp.
Yes.
Nelson.
Yes.
Russell.
No.
Turno.
Aye.
Turbeville.
No.
Gosch.
No.
Hunt.
No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 2, 1, 2, 3, 8.
The vote was 8-4 against the motion. The motion fails. That brings us back to the motion to amend 1045 by deleting the comma after business on line 5. Any further discussion on that motion to amend? Seeing none, all those in favor of that motion to amend 1045 will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
Motion carries. 1045 is so amended.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gosch.
I move due pass as amended of House Bill 1045.
Second.
Representative Gosch moves due pass on House Bill 1045 as amended, seconded by Representative Turberville. Comments on that due pass motion, Representative Gosch.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. We had excellent testimony on this bill with our first committee hearing. There was no opponent testimony. Everybody on the committee agreed that the merits of the bill were sound. The only objection to this bill has come in the way of a request for a division. And I'm sure that request will be made on the floor, and the Speaker can make a ruling at that time. With that in mind, I would urge this body to unanimously support this bill and send it to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor of the due pass motion on House Bill 1045 as amended will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Abdullah.
Aye.
Boomgarten.
Aye.
Feinstein. Gibson.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Nelson.
Nay.
Russell.
Aye.
Turno.
No.
Turbeville.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye. I believe the vote is 10-2 in favor. 1045 will go to the floor with a due pass recommendation. For the benefit of you that may feel strongly about your position in this matter, I would certainly release the three copies of House Bill, or the three subparts of House Bill 1045 that were prepared by LRC, and if you want to go down to LRC and say, I'd like to look at Hunt's three copies on that, you certainly can do that. Might save everybody some time, and we go on from there. All right. Let's move on to House Bill 1060. House Bill 1060 is entitled An Act to Permit a Probationer Who is a Registered Sex Offender to Reside in an Assigned Halfway House or supervised living center within a community safety zone. Would you please give us your name and what agency you're with, and then begin with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Greg Satizon. I'm the legal counsel for the Unified Judicial System, and I'm appearing in support of House Bill 1060. As many of you may recall, in 2010, there was legislation that made substantial revisions to the Sex Offender Registry scheme in Chapter 2224B. At that time, 2224B-23 was amended to provide that a registered sex offender can live within a community safety zone if they are assigned there to a halfway house or a supervised living center, and that was for parolees. As you're probably also aware, a community safety zone is that area 500 feet around any public pool, public park, public school, or playground. As the current law recognizes, there are indeed halfway houses and supervised living centers that are within the 500 feet of those areas, so they're within the community safety zone. This proposal by the UJS would allow probationers to also go and be assigned to those halfway houses or supervised living centers. The current provision only allows parolees. Probationers are supervised by the Unified Judicial System through our court services officers, very much the same way that parolees are supervised by the Department of Corrections. This issue has come up. For example, in Sioux Falls, the Arch is in a community safety zone. In Rapid City, the Friendship House is within a community safety zone. And so the proposal would make parolees and probationers treated the same and have the ability to be assigned to those facilities. And current law does restrict the ability for us to utilize those facilities at this time, and this would eliminate that and provide that as a resource, particularly in areas where there's not other resources available. And with that, I'd ask for your support of House Bill 1060, and certainly available for any questions.
Thank you. Let's just see, are there any other proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, let's take questions by the committee of this presenter, Representative Turno.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Satizon, I'm curious, how many total halfway houses are there in the state as compared to, you mentioned two that are in the community safety zone. How many total are there?
Representative Turno, Representative Turno, I'm not aware of how many there are statewide. I do know that there are eight statewide that are within community safety zones, but I neglected to get the total statewide number. Apologize.
Follow-up, Representative Turno. No. Representative Abdullah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Greg, if I understand it right, this is just a add-on of probationers as the same as parolees and all the others in that law that was passed.
Mr.
So
Chairman.
A mistake leaving out probationers, correct?
Go ahead.
I believe that's correct, Senator. Representative.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sir, could you tell us where these eight places are and what exactly is in the community safe zones around them?
There's the Glory House. There's the Friendship House, entity called CABH. The A&D Center in Mitchell, Dakota Pride, and then the Mission in Sioux Falls. I know a lot of them, I don't know exactly for each one what it's close to. I think the ones that I heard referenced, it was because there's a park located close.
Follow-up, sir.
Go ahead.
Were these designated such places with those community safe zones already there?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, what I believe has happened is that community safety zones over time has shrunk, and so they may have become smaller and included these. But it was clear at the time the 2010 legislation was passed that there are those that exist, and that was the reason the exception for parolees was added. Parolees and probationers, I think, are commonly referred to as the same, but legally they're not, and so that's why we're very strict at drawing the line that this does not apply to our probationers, and so this would allow them to be treated the same.
Thanks, sir.
Further questions? Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Satizan, is it not true that some of this resulted as a result of the, or some of this came about as a result of the Sex Offender legislation that was passed in 2009 from the summer study. Sex offenders, when they are released from prison and are either on probation or parole, have to have a job and be supervised. And it's technically illegal, isn't it, for a sex offender to live out on the street or under a bridge. And so since they're required to have a job, they have to have some place to live where they are supervised. And is this not something that needs attention?
Go ahead and respond.
Mr. Chairman, this was a result of that study, and I think that was why the provision for the parolees was included, for that very same reason. In our case, for probationers, they are not coming from the penitentiary. They're being supervised in the community, and obviously they need a place to be at in the community, and so they'll be assigned by either the court or their court services officer to that halfway house, which generally follows an aftercare program.
Further questions of the presenter? Seeing none. Yes, Representative Abdullah.
I move do pass.
We haven't taken opponents yet. We'll move on to opponents at this time. Representative Abdullah, there is a procedure that we do follow here. Thank you, sir. Are there any opponents? All right. Seeing none, unless there are some other questions of the single proponent, we'll move to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1060. Representative Turberville.
Mr. Chair, I move due pass.
Second. Representative Turberville moves due pass, seconded by Representative Gibson. Any discussion on the due pass motion on House Bill 1060, Representative Turberville?
No, this was just added on, and it is something that we should have taken care of in the first place, so I would urge the committee to vote yes on sending this to the floor as due pass.
Representative Abdullah.
Well, as long as there's no opposition, I think I'll support it.
Further comments on the due pass motion? Representative Nelson.
I'm a little bit disturbed that we're taking this so cavalier. We're talking about sex offenders with children. We're talking about community safe zones. If it was up to me, I'd strike number two altogether. These people are on probation. They're paroled because they were convicted, and they committed sex offenses. I, for one, don't want to be part of any process that puts them back in close proximity to children. These are called community safe zones for a reason, and I'll be voting against it.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Abdullah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I strongly disagree with the representative from Fulton. I was the prime sponsor of all five sex offender bills, all five of them. So I think it's very clear how I feel about sex offenders. But when you have a parolee that's been in the penitentiary and paroled and already is covered by law, obviously the court figures a person that puts a person on probation isn't serious enough to put them in the penitentiary. I think in most cases they can be trusted more than a parolee. And we're already excluding, we're exempting the law for parolees. To say that this is being soft on sex offenders, we have a court system, we have a probation system, we have a parole system, and that's part of public safety. And if we can't rely on our courts to make the right decision, I don't know what the hell we're doing here.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In an effort to be consistent with my prior vote on a number of the pieces of legislation that had been previously referred to by Mr. Abdullah or Representative Abdullah, when these bills came through the legislature, I believe it was 2010, it may have been 09, I voted against it because I thought that we were loosening up a number of the areas as it related to sex offenders and making it a little easier to be in these community safety zones, et cetera. And therefore, I'm going to be consistent with my vote 2 or 3 years ago and vote no on further liberalizing the ability to have sex offenders in community safety zones. Thank you.
Representative Nelson.
Yes, sir. Just to follow up to those statements, we are, in fact, opening up more convicted sex offenders into our community safe zones. That's a fact. That's what this bill does. The recidivism rate for sexual offenders is through the roof. Experts will agree that pedophiles and such are incorrigible. You cannot reform them. So we're going to put them right back into the community near community safe zones. In any event, those are the facts. Thank you.
Any other comments? Representative Turno.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm going to reluctantly support this bill only until I get more information as to how many halfway houses there may be. I appreciate the comment that there are at least eight within the community safe zones right now, and I understand the concern that they may be, the UGS may be limited to some extent where they can put these people. But if, in fact, as I suspect, there are many more than eight, I'm not going to be able to support this on the floor insofar as I don't know that it's beyond the realm of possibility or reasonableness to assign probationers, not parolees as has been referred to by other representatives here. We're talking about probationers, to assign them to a halfway house that is not in the community safe zone, if, in fact, there are a sufficient number of those facilities available. And I think that is the heart of the issue here. Not whether you've supported other bills in the past or not, not who's brought what bills and whether they've supported 500 feet community safety zones or 1,500 feet community safe zones. I think the issue here is strictly about probationers and whether they should be in these community safe zones. So, again, I'll be a reluctant yes. Thank you.
Very well. Any other comments? All right, before we go to a vote on the do pass motion on 1060, let me just say this. I certainly appreciate the passion of our members in some of this debate, but I think it's very, very safe to assume that there isn't a single member of this Judiciary Committee that is not highly interested and concerned with the safety of our children and the situation involving sex offenders. I think that's a given. I think that there may be honest debate and differences about whether or not having a probationer or a parolee under a supervised situation in a community safety zone, as opposed to just being able to wander around theoretically in and out of those community safety zones. I think there's two schools of thought, and I think they've been expressed here today. Having said that, at this point in time, we have a motion of do pass on 1060, and I'm going to ask the Secretary to call the roll. All those in favor of House Bill 1060 will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll on 1060.
Abdallah.
Aye.
Boomgarden.
Aye.
Feinstein. Gibson.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Kopp.
No.
Nelson.
Nay.
Russell.
No.
Torno.
Aye.
Turberville.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Three.
The vote was 10-3. In favor of the do pass motion on House Bill 1060, therefore 1060.
9-3.
I'm sorry. 9-3 is the vote on 1060, so 1060 will go to the floor with a do pass recommendation. That moves us to House Bill 1061. House Bill 1061, which is entitled A Bill to Amend Certain Provisions Related to Interpreter Services in the Court System. Do we have a proponent for 1061? We do. Again, would you please identify yourself and what agency you're with?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Greg Satizon. I'm the legal counsel for the Unified Judicial System, and I'm here in support of House Bill 1061. This bill follows a two-year study by the court system into how interpreters and translators services are provided to the public. That committee was appointed by the Supreme Court. It consisted of the Attorney General, state's attorneys, defense attorneys, court reporters, sign and language interpreters, and also representatives of the court system. In November of this year, the committee issued its final report to the Supreme Court recommending various changes related to interpreters. As part of that, there were recommendations for certain legislative provisions, cleanups, I would categorize them as. And that's what this bill is intended to accomplish. The first section would repeal the language that says interpreters can be subpoenaed into court. That's not consistent with how interpreters are treated. Interpreters are professionals offering a very unique skill set and service to the court. They're not subpoenaed like a witness to a car accident would be subpoenaed. Likewise, in Section 2, it would repeal the reference to the fact that they are treated as expert witnesses. Interpreters are not really expert witnesses for one side or another in a court proceeding. They're there to benefit the court and are qualified based on their education and experience by the court when they show up to do the interpreting. Finally, Section 3 of the bill would modify the oath that an interpreter takes. If you read the current oath, it really only fits a situation where the interpreter is taking an oath for direct interpretation for a witness that's on the stand. It doesn't contemplate that interpreters pretty much interpret an entire proceeding, opening statement, juror voir dire, obviously witness testimony, closing statements, any motions, comments by the judges, and then following a conviction, interpreters also will be called upon to interpret in other settings, whether it's the person at the clerk of court's office with questions or if they're being supervised by a court services officer through probation, an interpreter may also be necessary at that point. So the amendments to the oath, the cleanups to the oath would make it so it's more kind of user-friendly and can be tailored to fit the circumstances where the interpretation is needed. And with that, I'd certainly stand by for any questions on the bill.
Thank you. Let me just take a quick survey. Are there any other proponents on 1061? Any other proponents? Not seeing any. Are there any questions by members of the committee? Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Are there any opponents on 1061? Are there any opponents? Seeing none. We'll move the committee to questions. Any further questions they might have, any or action on 1061? Representative Turno.
I move to pass.
Second.
Representative Turno moves to pass. I believe Representative Hansen seconded that. Any discussion on the do pass motion on House Bill 1061?
Just very briefly, I think these are appropriate revisions that have needed to be made for some time, and I think they were very well explained. I urge your support. Thanks.
Any other discussion on the do pass motion? Seeing none. All those in favor of the do pass motion on 1061 will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Abdallah.
He's excused.
Excuse me. Boomgarten.
Aye.
Feinstein. Gibson.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Russell. Turno.
Aye.
Turbeville.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Unanimous.
Yeah. Vote on 1061 was virtually unanimous. And all those present, therefore, 1061 will go to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Representative Turbeville.
Move consent.
Is there any objection to consent on 1061? Any at all? All right. Let's just do the vote. All those in favor of putting 1061 on the consent calendar will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Seeing none, it'll go on the consent calendar. Let me just take a moment to assign a couple of cases here. With regards to 1045, Representative Gosch, do you want to take that? Or I'm not sure, maybe the leader will take that one, but one of the other take it. And on 1060, do we have a volunteer to do that? Otherwise, I think we'll assign Representative. You want to take it? Sure. Representative Gibson. And on 1061, Representative Turno, you want to take that?
That's on consent.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's right. If there, if it gets pulled from consent, why don't you go ahead and take it? All right, that takes us to House Bill 1062. 1062 is entitled a bill to clarify the supporting documentation necessary for a request to implement the standard of visitation guidelines. Again, if you would please identify yourself.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Greg Satizon. I'm the legal counsel for the Unified Judicial System, and I'm appearing in support of House Bill 1062. This bill provides a very simple, but it's also a very worthwhile corrective change. Under current law, if a party is requesting to implement the standard child visitation guidelines, they're required, because of an amendment to a statute in 2009, to attach a copy of the existing custody or visitation order. What's missing from that current law is also a copy of the current child support order. I believe that was probably just an unintentional miss there. But although there are other ways to get this information, for the parties, having all the relevant documentation provided at the same time can be very helpful. And anyone that's involved in the family law area or is familiar with child custody proceedings knows that support, custody, visitation are all very closely related. And so we believe that this change would treat all those orders with the same degree of respect and have them provided to the people that need them at the same time. And I'm certainly available for any questions.
Let's again see if we have any other proponents. Are there any proponents? We do have, so we'll take the next proponent.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Dan Todd. I'm the Director for Legal Services with the Department of Social Services, and we request your support for this bill. The department's not necessarily into visitation, but it seems appropriate for the court to have a child support order available to it when it's making those decisions. I think it would just make things flow better, so we're in support of this bill.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Any other proponents? All right, let's just take questions of the two proponents. Are there any questions by members of the committee of the two proponents on House Bill 1062? No questions? All right. Let's go to opponents. Are there any opponents on 1062? Opponents on 1062. Seeing none, do we have any questions of the proponents one last time? Seeing none, we'll close the committee hearing to the taking of public testimony and move to committee discussion and or action on 1062.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Turberville.
I'd move due pass on 1062.
Representative Turberville moves due pass on 1062. It was seconded by Representative Gosch. Representative Turberville, any comments on your due pass motion?
No, it's just a common sense bill. Probably something that should have been included originally, and I would ask the committee to support this.
Any other discussion on the due pass motion on 1062? Seeing none. All those in favor of the due pass motion on 1062 will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Abdallah. Boomgarten.
Aye.
Feinstein. Gibson.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Killer.
No.
Kopp.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Turno.
Aye.
Turberville.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye. I believe the vote on that is 9-1 in favor of the due pass motion. Therefore, 1062 will go to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Chairman, 10.
Okay, sorry, 10-1 was the vote on that. Representative Hansen, would you take that on the floor? All right, let's move on to House Bill 1063. 1063 is a bill entitled Repeal Certain Statutes Related to the Testimony of Sex Offense Victims and to Evidence of a Victim's Prior Sexual Conduct and to Establish the Rationale and Effect of the Repeal. Again, please identify yourself.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Greg Satizon for the Unified Judicial System. This bill may seem familiar to some of you. During the 2010 legislative session, the UJS presented an identical bill based on the repealer that's before you today. It was successful, it passed, but when it was enacted, there was a caveat that the repeal was only contingent, was contingent upon the Supreme Court adopting the equivalent of Federal Rule 412 concerning the evidence of a victim's prior sexual history, commonly referred to as the Rape Shield Law. The Supreme Court noticed that rule for public hearing, held a public hearing, studied the issue, and eventually adopted the rule that I have just had passed out to you, Rule 1013. That wasn't accomplished until March 15th of 2011. As a result, the repealer had expired by the time the court adopted the new rule. This bill is intended to coordinate the two provisions. The rule provides that it would go into effect upon the legislative repeal on July 1 of this year, the same as the effective date of the act would be if it is adopted by this body. So this bill would coordinate those two provisions. And just briefly, as to the substance of it, the Supreme Court rule is based on Federal Rule of Evidence 412, which is really the standard in this area. The rule clarifies that a victim's protection extends to both civil and criminal proceedings. Current law, what's on the books now, really only applies in a criminal proceeding. It does not protect victims in civil proceedings. And the rule also delineates those exceptions where evidence of a prior sexual conduct, sexual history does become relevant to a proceeding and when it can be admissible, and also sets forth a procedure for the court to use to address this and can hear that evidence off the record, sort of, and it would be sealed so a victim's past sexual history does not become the public record needlessly. The rule aims to safeguard a victim against invasions of privacy, potential embarrassment, and public disclosure of very intimate details that may not be relevant to a case, but it also still preserves an alleged perpetrator's ability to defend themselves against any statements and to provide evidence that's necessary for their defense. We believe that this rule would protect victims and also encourage them to report more crimes and come forward and participate in legal proceedings because it would eliminate that fear that their past sexual history is fair game. With that, the UJS believes that this does clarify and strengthen existing law and would ask for your support of the repeal. And I'm certainly available for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents on 1063? I see there are. Please come forth and identify yourself.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dan Todd. I'm the Director for Legal Services with the Department of Social Services. A huge number of victims in sexual abuse are children, and to that extent, we support this bill. Recommend that you support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents on 1063? Proponents on 1063? Seeing none, are there any questions by members of the committee of the proponents on 1063? Representative Russell.
Question is of Mr. Satizan.
Please go ahead and ask your question.
I noticed that we're essentially getting rid of all of the, well, at least as it relates to SDCL 1912. I don't know if it was. I used to know this by heart, 5.1 or whatever, 15.1. Are we, as in a general rule, and I wasn't on this committee when you passed this previous bill, but is the court, as a matter of general proposition, essentially adopting rules now and getting rid of the statutes that have to do with the rules of evidence?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Russell, this came about really when this was proposed. There was a block of rules proposed to the Supreme Court, and they had to deal with various subjects similar to the Federal Rules of Evidence. And in analyzing those, it became immediately apparent that the legislature had already occupied the field as it related to this rule of evidence. And so in order for the court to move forward, that's why the repealer was brought. As you know, it's It's the court's constitutional authority to make rules of practice and procedure in the court. So generally, all those rules of evidence are court rules. Every once in a while, there's an anomaly where you'll go back to the history and see that it's a legislative rule of evidence. And this was one that was discovered. I'm not aware of any other ones where we've made a move to repeal those so the court can act.
So this essentially is the only federal rule of evidence that was in statute that you're essentially substituting with by rule. Is that correct?
Go ahead and answer.
Chairman, as far as I know, this is the only one, and this is the only one we're attempting to do this with.
Okay. In the package of legislation, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. In the package of legislation that was brought in 2010, were there more rules that were impacted this way? Do you have any idea as to that?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, please.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I don't recall any at all.
And one
Go
more
ahead.
Follow-up?
Yes.
I'm curious about the subsequent federal rules of evidence, 413, 414, et cetera. Were those adopted by the court?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Russell, I believe those are the ones that relate to expert witness testimony, if we're tracking the same ones.
413 has to do with evidence of prior convictions for sex offenses. And if you don't know, it's not really germane. I was just curious if we also adopted those rules of federal evidence.
I don't. I would hate to give you the wrong answer because I don't know exactly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other questions, members of the committee?
Chairman.
Representative Nelson.
In the document we're handing here, I take it this the South Dakota Codified Law, Title 19-12. It should be -15, correct, for Rule 412?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, yes, when they adopt it, they'll leave that blank, and then when it goes to LRC, the Code Council puts it where it goes, because I believe it was part of a number of rules that were being adopted at the time. But I believe it is 15. It was the number that it will get.
Thanks, sir.
Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll close the committee hearing to the taking of public testimony and move to committee discussion and or action. Oh, I'm sorry. Got ahead of myself. Are there any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none. If there are no other questions of the two proponents, we'll close the committee hearing to the taking of public testimony and move to committee discussion and or action on 1063. Yes, Representative Gibson.
Mr. Chair, I move due pass.
Representative Gibson moves due pass on 1063, seconded by Representative Killer. Any discussion on that motion, Representative Gibson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that the implementation of this rule only makes sense and protect victims of sexual offenses and adds to it the federal rules of evidence. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the due pass motion on 1063? Seeing none, all those in favor of the due pass motion on 1063 will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Abdallah.
Aye.
Boomgarten.
Aye.
Feinstein. Gibson.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Russell. Turnow.
Aye.
Turbeville.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye. Motion carries on a unanimous vote of those present. Representative Russell, will you take that on the floor? Well, I understand. If it's a weak yes, maybe we should. All right, Representative Nelson, go ahead and take 1063 on the floor. That moves us to 1064, which is an act to allow the Supreme Court to establish certain rules for the use of interactive audiovisual equipment and to provide for the collection and deposit of fees for the use thereof. Again, please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Greg Satizon for the Unified Judicial System. And I think this is my last bill, so hopefully I don't wear out my welcome here too soon. This bill is really a result of requests that we have received from non-governmental entities and private parties to utilize our ITV equipment, which is the interactive audiovisual television equipment similar to the state's DDN network. Currently, we have 54 of those units statewide in various courthouses. Under our current policy, we would allow any governmental entity that requests that to use that free of charge, assuming it's not occupied for court proceedings. That would not change under this legislative proposal at all. But in order to expand the use to non-governmental agencies or private parties, the Supreme Court would need to develop rules concerning such things as scheduling, cancellation policies, priority of usage, training individuals on how to use that equipment, and kind of the ground rules for using that equipment, because a number of times these will be actually physically located in the courtroom, and so you want to make sure everyone understands the proper protocol. In addition to creating those rules, the court would also propose establishing a fee schedule for use, again, only by non-state entities for non-court-related proceedings. Any of those fees would be directed to the Court Automation Fund, which is where that equipment is purchased from, and so that is where the associated costs would be from. The proposal would allow the court to develop these rules for attorneys, private parties that seek to use this equipment for things such as client meetings, interviews, conferences across the state, or actually link with other states. And this could be particularly useful because we do have a number of these located in the rural county courthouses where there may not be other access to similar devices. So at this time, I would ask for your support of House Bill 1064, and this really is intended to allow the court to kind of develop rules in this area, but we felt it necessary to have the legislative approval before going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents on 1064? Any other proponents? Let me just ask quickly, are there any opponents? Any opponents to 1064? Seeing there are no opponents, does the committee have any questions of the proponent to 1064? Representative Turnell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Satizon, I noticed, first of all, in the bill that it says that the Supreme Court is going to establish these rules for the use of interactive audiovisual equipment. And my first thought was the DDN is interactive audiovisual equipment, but you're limiting this to audiovisual equipment in courtrooms, correct?
Go ahead and respond.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Torno, the DDN equipment is completely separate from the UJS-owned equipment. They're not on the same network. We use the same bandwidth and we use the same lines, but our equipment is purchased by the UJS. It's maintained by our IT staff, and it's, so it's separate. It's not part of that network.
Follow up?
Go ahead.
Right, but my point is the bill doesn't say for the use of UGS interactive audiovisual equipment. It just says interactive audiovisual equipment, correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
And one more follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
When we talk about it being UGS equipment, was it, and I don't know the answer, so I'm just, it was purchased with state general fund dollars, was it not?
Go ahead.
It would have been purchased through the Court Automation Fund, which is that fund that's generated by surcharges.
Thank you.
Follow-up, Mr. Representative Turnell?
No.
Any other questions? Representative Abdullah. Representative Abdullah moves due pass on 1064, seconded by Representative Kopp. Any discussion on that due pass motion on 1064? Representative Abdullah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I think it's a very short bill, and it's very self-explanatory, and I have confidence that the Supreme Court, the UJS, can set out the guidelines, and maybe they can pick up a few dollars. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the due pass motion on 1064 will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Abdullah.
Aye.
Baumgarten.
Aye.
Feinstein. Gibson.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Russell.
No.
Turnow.
Aye.
Turbeville.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye. Eleven-1 is the vote on the do-pass motion on House Bill 1064. Therefore, 1064 will go to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. At this time, that takes us to the last item on our agenda, House Bill 1069. That is a bill in which I am a prime, and so I'm going to turn the gavel over to Vice Chair Representative Gosch.
Now before House Judiciary Committee is House Bill 1069, an act to increase the amount of income and principal of a perpetual fund used to maintain a cemetery. And at this time, we'll take proponent testimony on House Bill 1069. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 1069 is a bill which is being brought to this committee today in light of the economic situation in which we find ourselves. Even though economics are fairly good in South Dakota, there are still some entities that are not being able to receive enough income on certain funds in order to even pay expenses. And that's what we have here in 1069. This bill basically seeks to deal with those cemetery situations where there's a local perpetual fund for the maintenance of the cemetery. And this is most of the time, these are going to be your church cemeteries out in the countryside, where over the years, various families, usually as memorials, have donated a few hundred dollars into the fund in order to ensure that the cemetery is maintained. Currently, the law would basically restrict those funds to using only the income off of those funds for maintaining the cemeteries. Well, we all know that when you can't even get 1 or 1.5% on your CDs, it's difficult to be able to have enough money to pay for lawnmowers and gasoline and some of those expenses that are incurred in maintaining local cemeteries. So what this bill would do would be to allow the cemeteries that are in this situation and have these type of funds to be able to use some of their principal as well as income. In essence, no more than 6% of the combined income and principal in the fund could be used annually for maintenance purposes. That is basically the simple nature of the bill. I encourage your support of the bill and would stand by for any questions you might have.
Thank you, Representative. Any further proponent testimony? Any further proponent testimony of House Bill 1069? Seeing none. Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we will close the committee hearing to taking a public testimony and open it to committee questions. Any questions of the committee for Representative Hunt? Seeing none, we will close the committee questions and open up to committee discussion and or action. Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, I move do pass on House Bill 1069.
Moved by Representative Hansen, do pass in House Bill 1069, seconded by Representative Abdallah. Any discussion on that motion, Representative Hansen? No discussion. That'll make it easy, I think, here. Those in favor of the do pass motion, House Bill 1069, will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Abdallah.
Aye.
Boomgarten.
Aye.
Feinstein. Gibson.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Turnow.
Aye.
Turbeville.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
That's 12 ayes, 0 nays. This House Bill 1069 will go to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any suggestions on consent by the committee? Move consent. Any objection? Seeing no objection, House Bill 1069 will be put on the consent calendar.
Mr. Chairman, that's the bill that you
Yes, it was. I will turn the gavel back over to Representative Hunt. Thank you.
No. That completes our calendar. I thought I had a lengthy calendar, and we've moved right along very smartly. We have approximately six more committee days. We have a full agenda for next Wednesday. Next Friday, of course, we're not in session. But please keep an eye on your computers and the agenda portions, because we may have a number of bills assigned to the Judiciary Committee after today, because today, as you all know, is a deadline for unlimited bills. So at this point in time, unless there are any other questions by members of the committee, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Representative Turberville to adjourn, seconded by Representative Dosh. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to adjourn will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned. Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Thank you.